Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
Welcome, welcome. So in this particular episode, how to make a living in the metaverse, in this video, we're going to show you how to make a living in the metaverse, and we're going to explain what it is as well for people that don't actually know. My name is Nathaniel Schooler. I'm joined by Nicholas Babin, and he is the ex-head of Sony Europe in many divisions, including robotics, AI, and communication. He's at the cutting edge of new technologies, as you would expect. And in this video, we are going to break down exactly how things will change, whether you're looking for a new career or just want to make some extra money on the side, or want to just not feel left out. This video is for you. So grab a coffee and let's get started. Welcome, Nicholas. I appreciate you you joining me.
Thank you very much, Nat. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. Always.
It's fantastic. You've been a guest many, many times, and every time I have a thoroughly enjoyable conversation. And so I think the best thing before we dig into the jobs element is, first of all, you know, what is the metaverse? Because I know you've been busy sort of studying this in detail and writing papers and things like this very recently. So the information that you have is very up to date. So what is the metaverse exactly, Nicholas?
Yes, that's a very good question, because a lot of people, as you said, have heard about it, but they don't know what it is. Metaverse, we just need to understand the word in itself. Meta is a Greek word that means beyond. So it's beyond the universe. That's how the two words were coined to make metaverse as a term. And metaverse is basically a platform or an environment which is going to be a combination of physical world and digital world. That's what we call the phygital world. So it's basically almost, if I could find an image, it's almost like a game, or at least it could start as a game, but a serious game where inside you are going to have a life like you have in the physical world. For example, you'll be able to buy things. So there's an economy around the metaverse. You'll be able to meet people. You'll be able to do banking, to do your insurance, to buy sports shoes. You'll be able to buy clothes. You'll be able to try everything because it's going to combine your digital aspect of life with your physical one. And that's why we call it metaverse, because it's beyond the current universe we know.
Wow, that's a great explanation. So why is it actually happening now then, Nicholas?
That's a great question. The term metaverse, you need to know, it started back in 1992. It's like a science fiction novel called Show Crash that mentioned it. And it was, you know, at the time, almost, it really didn't matter. We didn't know about it. But back in 2000, 2002, there was Second Life. And the Sony version of Second Life that came in, which was seen as a game. And the Sony version was called Home. And it was where, you know, with the limited technology we had then, the birth, if I could say, at least of a commercial internet, we had we could see that there was a start of something. So people could go on Second Life, could meet other people, could go to a cinema, and see what was available. But in order to download the movie, it would take forever because basically the bandwidth was just too limited. And the idea has been, you know, around since that time. 92 was just really the term that started. It's like, if you want artificial intelligence, the term started in the 50s, but we only started to see what it was, the potential, back in the 90s. Here's pretty much the same. 92, the term came alive. 2000, we had the first bubbles, you know, that came around. And now we see it because all the technologies that the metaverse requires today are coming into fruition, or are coming in, and it's these technologies are actually maturing. And that's what I meant. So it's, you know, virtual reality, the goggles that you put on your face that puts you into this virtual world. Augmented reality, extended reality, all these technologies are now mature. You also
Can I stop you there? Can you explain what extended reality is? Because I've never heard, I've heard it, but I don't quite know what that means.
Extended reality is a mix of augmented reality and virtual reality. So it's basically you're in a virtual world, but anything you can see in that virtual world can be augmented, right? So that's what we call extended reality. It's basically you have glasses, goggles, that show you in a different type of world. But also within that world, you can go see other points. And, you know, if you visit a town, you can see what the bridge is, all these things. So it's a mix of both, right?
Thank you. Thank you.
So you have all these technologies, but also you have all the infrastructure around the technologies that is today available. So, you know, cloud, edge technology, which helps make data communication much easier. You have IoT to add that also into the metaverse, because you have objects talking to each other, and objects can also be represented in the metaverse. Mm-hmm. You also have all the different ways that people can communicate. So for example, today, as we're doing today with StreamYard, with Zoom, with all these technologies, so people could, you know, like we're two persons, but we could also be within a metaverse environment, for example, and we could be in a virtual room in the metaverse, and you could have people come in with their avatars, right? So that's a possibility. Avatars is another technology that today is pretty standard that we know everywhere. You have 5G coming to life. 5G is what? Is a lot of bandwidth with low latency and different type of communications. That also is helping the metaverse coming to terms. So basically, and also in terms of the economy, we have now cryptocurrencies, blockchain, and NFTs. Well, if I could, the whole thing is around blockchain. But thanks to blockchain, we have cryptocurrencies, we have NFTs, and so you can trade, right? So NFTs, non-fungible tokens, that allows you to trade luxury items, art items, digital media, anything that you want to have. So all this coming together, and that's what was lacking with Second Life and Home, is the fact that we could not trade. I mean, the only way you could trade until, you know, about 2 or 3 years ago, 2 years ago, even, or 18 months ago, was by giving your credit card and having your credit card on the internet. And that was the thing that we could see on Second Life. Whereas now you have cryptocurrencies. So you have a digital wallet. We all have digital wallets with Google and all the others. And that digital wallet allows you to buy, trade, exchange, whatever you want. So all these technologies coming to life are making it an economically viable environment. And that's why it's happening now. We have the technology, we have the mindset, and we have the economy angle. And these three elements are making the metaverse happen.
Right. And a lot of that is to do with the price of the headsets as well, right? The price of the technology has come right down, yeah?
That's what I mean by maturing technology, is the fact that now it's so out there that everybody can afford it.
Yeah, I experienced the PlayStation headset a few months ago. And I mean, literally a shark came and, like, you know, bit the edge off of the metal cage that I was in, right? But it pushed me to a level of, you know, I was scared, but then I was aware that I was in this virtual world. So it was so I knew that I wasn't in danger, thankfully. So I kind of took it in the way that it was, but I can see that the quality of the graphics, the headset, everything has really progressed in the past 10 years. From when I put that first, you know, headset on, I think maybe about 8 years ago when I went to Wimbledon, I put on the Oculus headset. Yep, I think
the first
back
one,
then.
Absolutely. Yep.
And it was all right, but it's sort of, you know. And then I went to Intel and I put on a headset there at Intel, probably 3 years. Yeah, 3 years ago.
Yeah,
and
I remember.
I can't say. Yeah, you remember I went there, and yeah, I can't say I was that impressed. But I was impressed, but I wasn't really impressed until my friend Eric got this headset, and he's like, "Look, sit down, put this on, and enjoy it. And what made me laugh was he could see me on the TV, because obviously you have the TV in the background, yes, with which has the same view, right? And then you have the headset on, and it was mind-blowing. I mean, he took a video of me screaming, you know, and it was just, but I was in hysterics, you know, laughing for quite a lot of the time. And it's absolutely bizarre. So, you know, you've said a bit about what the environment is, Nicholas. Is there anything more you want to say on the sort of what is the environment?
These are the three angles that are really important. But one thing that's really important is to know that 15 years ago, when PlayStation 2, so really at the beginning of PlayStation, PlayStation 2 came out with a product called iToy. iToy was a camera that you put on your TV that will make you part of a virtual game. So, for example, I would go and I bought iToy. Well, I was with worked with Sony at the time. So I had my iToy at home, and I had karate people coming at me, and I would fight them on my TV. I didn't have any goggles or anything, because at the time it was not known. It was like 15 years ago at least, mm-hmm, or even more than that. Mm-hmm. PlayStation 2, I can't remember the dates anyway. But so iToy was really the beginning of this digital world. I was physically in front of my TV, but the game made me digital within my game. So there were many things. You could clean your screen, and the quicker you do it, the better, obviously, and you get more points. So basically, you would be nothing in your hands, but the game would make it like as if you were cleaning that. And then PlayStation 3 didn't do much in terms of virtual reality, but we really started. I mean, Sony really started back with PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5 is just perfect for virtual reality. And as you rightfully said, you know, you are immersed into this. And so this environment, the last thing I want to say about this environment is that it creates an engagement like no other. You are basically, you live your experience. And, you know, I'm a guy from marketing, and I've been in marketing for my whole life. And the things that you always look for in marketing is engagement. It's engagement of your prospects, engagement of your customers. I've been really involved with gamification, because that was basically gamification back in 2004. We were just at the beginning of this engagement with digital platforms. And the metaverse is the combination of everything we've seen today, not only in terms of technology, but as I mentioned, mindset. And mindset to me is what we've learned with gamification, is basically the using game mechanics for doing things that are not fun. So NFT is not fun, to be honest with you, but you're engaged because it uses game mechanics to make it more engaging. And that's why this environment is really important to understand it. So in order to understand the overall concept, and which we'll talk later on about jobs in the metaverse and all these that are very disruptive. And, you know, you and I have been in this business longer than you, but we've been in new technologies. We've been, and here we really see an evolution. It's not a revolution, because everything we've seen for the past 30 years is an evolution, but here's the evolution is massive, because it's very disruptive, because it's something we're not used to.
Absolutely. And you know, it opens up so many opportunities to
absolutely
to feature product placement, you know, and things like this within gaming itself, right? It's
yep.
It's pretty incredible. I mean, you know, and Roblox is like a massive trend with my daughter. I mean, she's sort of 11, right? So that's like huge for her. Yeah,
I'm always on Roblox.
You are?
Oh yeah, of course. I'm a big gamer, and you know that Nike Land, the Nike Metaverse is on Roblox.
No way.
Yeah, that's wow. That's what their whole Metaverse environment is on Roblox. Go to Nike Land, log into to your Roblox, and you'll see it's normally the second screen down. You'll have Nike Land, and you go there, and you can buy virtual shoes.
Wow.
You can visit stores. You can, yeah.
Anything. I'm not surprised, to be honest, because the kids of that age, I mean, they're going to go through what, maybe 10 pairs of Nikes by the time they're 20 years old. I mean,
yep,
if you catch them at the age of 8 or 9, The parents are going to be buying a lot of Nike shoes, aren't they, at the end of the day?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where, you know, this environment is so critical, because now you have large brands. We talked about Nike, but we can talk about retail brands like Carrefour in France. We can talk about banks. We can talk about insurance companies. All these companies, and you obviously can talk also about Meta, Mark Zuckerberg's company. But I want to make sure that at least people understand that Meta is not the metaverse. It's one part of the environment of the metaverse. They have their own environment. The metaverse is something much bigger than Meta, obviously. But mm-hmm. all these companies are pouring huge amount of money in it, you know, because they know that it's going to be something different. It's, you know, when you see the success of cryptocurrencies today, you can, you know, rightfully ask yourself whether or not the metaverse will follow the like with cryptos. And I believe that it will.
Because I think it already has. I mean, if you think about pieces of land going for sale,
exactly,
and the way that our kids are addicted to Roblox is insane. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Like, I mean, it's completely bizarre how they chat to each other in this game, right? I mean, it's like it's removed a social network. Really, it's kind of like they want to be busy doing something and then talk to each other at the same time. I find it really quite, I'm not going to say strange. It's just evolved, hasn't it?
Different.
It's, you know, it's like, it's just different, right? And they like to be really busy, and they've got multiple devices that they're using all the time at the same time, which is quite disconcerting for my brain, to be honest.
But today, you know, and I think you're right, because I said we're going to see some success, but as you said, we are already seeing some success. And for example, Artifact, so there's a company that used to make virtual sneaker shoes, right? So sports shoes in every shape or form, but virtual ones, digital ones. Mm. They were acquired for a multi-million dollar deal by Nike. And Nike started to sell their Artifact shoes on Roblox, in Nike Land. For the first pair was sold for $10,000.
Wow.
Digital sneakers, $10,000. So, you know, why is it so different? It's because today the world is evolving. You know, you can see that we have problems with inflation. So stock market is going down. People don't know where to put their money. And they think, why not try cryptocurrencies? Why not try the metaverse? Because it's another way of investing. You can still invest in a house, in real estate, obviously. But you also have the option of investing in something different. And, you know, banks, when they buy land on metaverse, because you know banks own a lot of land in the digital, in the physical world, well, they are starting to do the same thing in digital world. And so one day maybe you want to rent a land or a building that's owned by a bank on the metaverse. And that's why, you know, as you rightfully said, it's evolving, it's different. But we need to start thinking differently in order to think bigger on the metaverse.
Wow. I mean, it's very scarcity kind of mindset, isn't it? With a lot of these NFTs. And I think also with the metaverse as well, right? But people are certainly making money. I'm just not sure exactly who they are, to be honest. I mean, I know Ice-T did a collection of images that he sold, but he linked that to a physical product as well. So you've got these kind of hybrid kind of pieces of art, which is, you know, there's maybe a handbag over here that someone buys in the metaverse, and then they get one delivered to their door, or they get a special edition. And a lot of these big brands are doing it. I think they're doing it more for the publicity. I think personally, I'm not sure that they're making money. Certainly the big brands like Prada and things like this, they're doing it just because they're playing, right? They want to see where it's going, don't they? You know,
today, yes, and they need to position themselves already. But, you know, I can see it happening very soon, the fact that these brands are going to make money on the metaverse.
Yeah,
so absolutely. The first step is really to position yourself, say we're in the metaverse. That creates, you know, obviously some marketing, it's a marketing ploy basically. But later on, I think they'll benefit from it. You know, it's like before COVID, all the companies that had started to think about digital transformation and had started to help their employees do a business from home and everything. These are the companies that were the least impacted by COVID. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's going to happen with the metaverse. As long as companies start to think about it, start to implement some strategies within their companies, when the metaverse is going to become mainstream, then they'll be the ones that will benefit and will optimize their presence on the metaverse. So I think it's very clever what they're doing today. Obviously, not every single company can do that. But at least the companies that can see their vision with the metaverse can start, you know, positioning themselves. And that's really a key element to that. But also another important point is, you know, we talk about this hybrid situation about work. And I know this is one very important topic today, but the metaverse will allow you to work from home and still participate in meetings. So you'll have physical people in those meetings and you'll have avatars representing you in the metaverse. It's a different way of working. So for example, you will not be around the table anymore, or maybe you will if you want with two, three people, and you'll have two or three avatars around the table as well, which mm-hmm. will represent you. So, you know, obviously then the vision later on can be about AI also augmenting humans and helping, but you know, I don't want to scare anyone there, but it's basically a new way of working, a new way of shopping, a new way of living, a new way of dating, a new mm-hmm. way of meeting people, a new way of everything. It's that's what's interesting. And I know we'll talk more about work, so I don't want to jump guns here. But to me, this environment is very important to understand. And why is it happening now? Well, again, as I mentioned, you know, technology needs to be available 24/7. We have that mm-hmm. today. We didn't have mm-hmm. that in the past. It needs to be profitable because return on investment is something essential. Mm-hmm. This is what's happening with NFTs and the e-commerce and the business model, which now is something that's pretty standard. You know, back in 2004, I was with Sony and we were thinking about e-commerce. For us, it was like not easy to switch our business from B2B to C to e-commerce. But this is now pretty standard. Mm-hmm. It needs to be real time because if it's not real time, then it's like having a robot that will answer you half an hour after you ask a question. And it's pointless. Mm-hmm. Here, we have great connectivity with people and objects. This is why it's real time. It needs to be engaging. I mentioned it before, and immersive. And have also commercial and non-commercial angles to make it work. So some people who don't want to spend any money still have an interest in seeing that. Again, as I mentioned, it needs to combine physical and digital world. I'm not going to go back on this one. And mm-hmm. to me, it needs to be ubiquitous, present, or found everywhere. You know, the ubiquitous, sorry, that's my French accent kicking in on the ubiquitous word, but that's a difficult one.
I don't like that, but that word, ubiquitous, I find that's that a difficult word.
That's the one.
As well. It needs to be everywhere, right? That's what
it needs to be everywhere.
But the thing is, at the moment, I mean, before we get into the jobs kind of element, because there are jobs in all areas within this marketplace, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, you've talked a bit about what type of market will be involved.
Yes.
But the thing is that there's going to be expertise and knowledge needed in all of these kind of areas, right? From
absolutely
promoting it, from graphic design, from coding, from
infrastructure, cloud, and all these. Absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and management, skills, telling, you know, PR, marketing, communications, yep. all of the traditional skills that have been needed absolutely. For the last however many decades are not really going to change that much, except for they're going to be focused more on this world with a headset on. So question is, how do you where would you go if you were someone who wanted to learn more about this? Like, would you buy a headset? And if so, what would that be? And then what would you do? If you were thinking of transitioning work-wise to becoming an expert in this, what would your next steps be, Nicholas?
So it all depends on what type of jobs you're looking for. So I'm going to explain myself. If you are a programmer or a technical person, you can go to basically any type of companies, startups, scale-ups, large companies, all these and all these people, basically all these companies, will require new technology people who can understand the cloud, the edge computing, who can understand 5G, who can understand coding, all these virtual reality worlds and all these. So these that are going to be, or that are already very needed, but are going to be even more very soon and happening actually now. So that's the type of job. If you're more into a marketing type job, then you will need to work for a larger company because, as I mentioned, these companies are looking to position themselves today. So they will need advice from people who have followed the trend. So, you know, a lot of companies tell me, oh, yeah, we should recruit millennials or even younger people. And I don't agree with that because if you, I mean, obviously they will be great for that job, but they also need people who understand about marketing from a while back. Mm-hmm. Because again, here we're talking about hybrid situation, physical, digital. So somebody who understands, you know, how to engage and approach somebody in the physical world probably will not understand how to do it in digital world. So it's a combination of everything. But today, startups, scale-ups are not really into these marketing type jobs for the metaverse. If you're in a legal position, then a larger company will require your help, and it's going to be extremely important because legal people need to reinvent their contracts. They need to reinvent all the agreements, everything, because it's a different type of economy. It's a different type of exchange, and it needs to be obviously as with any type of business, it needs to be ruled by legal people. If you're in sales, very important as well, because sales, I mentioned the Artifact deal with Nike. Well, if you're in sales, you're going to sell digital goods as well as typical coming out of the box type of goods. So if you're in sales, you can work with startups because some startups have already started to sell in terms of the metaverse, or mostly today, larger companies. So it really all depends. If you're in finance today, you know, larger companies will tend to hire people who understand the metaverse because they know that they need to transform their financial way of doing business. You're not anymore going to do business on your Excel. It's going to be real time. It's going to be coming from different type of platforms. It's going to be with big data architecture, which means that data coming from everywhere will be very, the five V's of big data, where you have a lot of variety of data, you have a lot of volume and all this, and you'll be able to manage all this data. So data coming from emails, from videos, from augmented reality, from virtual reality, all this information coming, and then making sure that at least you charge your customers with the right amount of dollars if you're in the US. But you know, for example, you have a customer using your virtual reality equipment in your virtual reality world, in your metaverse world, then you know, for finance people, it's totally new. It's something very disruptive. So every single angle of the job today is required to think differently, and every single different job today will enhance their skills because it's going to be a different environment and a different way of doing business. And that's why it's very important, is that's why, you know, you focus on this podcast on around how you make a living out of the metaverse. It's really how you transform yourself to make yourself sexy in the metaverse.
Right. So when it comes to what you would do, I mean, is there a specific platform that you would recommend, or a specific headset that you think people should buy? I mean, how are they going to get, you know, knowledge of this in the real world? And are the platforms like Zoom and, you know, these other platforms moving towards this, or what? How is that kind of work? Because I know there's a thing in Zoom where they have a sort of, they've tried, but it hasn't quite worked yet. Yeah.
Now, you have several type of platforms. You mentioned Roblox, Fortnite, The Sandbox. You have Horizon Worlds from Meta. As I mentioned, that's the environment from Meta X Facebook. Mm-hmm. You have Mesh from Microsoft with integration of Teams and HoloLens headsets. All these today are platforms that work. And what I would do and what I have done, to be honest with you, is I've been on these platforms. I've trained myself. I looked at how they work. I've read a lot. So I know it's not, you know, something sexy to read a lot about this, but it's new. It's coming. When you're a trained programmer, a trained engineer in computer science and all these things, today you just graduated, you know about these technologies, you've learned about it, you've probably have done some internship around that, so you know what to do in terms of marketing, sales, legal, finance, and all this. It's really, to me, it's not about buying headsets or anything. It's about changing your mindset and do a proper change management about yourself. So it's really introspection of who you are, what you want to learn, and get the information yourself. And, you know, contact me, contact you, ask questions, read books. I published a very good book about new technologies. I'm sorry. I'm just putting
it's
it
a,
in
it's
here.
It's a good book.
Well, The Talking yeah. Dog. Thank you, Matt. I know your dad really enjoyed it.
He loved it. Yeah, he loved it.
So, but you know, that's the type of things that you think outside of the box. We've heard a lot about that term, thinking outside of the box, for many, many years. But now is really the time where, you know, you start thinking, oh, when I use Roblox, when I use Mesh, when I use all this, it's true, it's different. Yeah, but how can I make it work for me? And that's what I would tell people to do if they want to really get involved in the metaverse in terms of right. And also making a living out of the metaverse.
Right. So, but the thing is, like Roblox and stuff like that, like whilst it is 3D and everything, it's still yep. on a computer, right? Like it's not in a headset, right?
So, yeah, but that's the beginning. So, you're learning right? step by step. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, mm-hmm. going to Nightland on Roblox will teach you how it works.
Uh-huh.
And will open your mind about what you would need to do. That's what I've done.
Very interesting. That's very interesting. There's so much that it's just really, where does your creativity kind of lead you, right? I mean, that's, and what do you want to do with your time? I mean, the whole series so far, this series has been really very eye-opening for everybody who's kind of listened to the episodes and for the guests and me as well, right? Because it's all about really just continual learning. And that's basically what we're embracing here. And, yep. You know, without that continual learning, I think people are not really going to be in employment for much longer. I think that they will, in essence, have some forced time off because they will find themselves irrelevant, really. Absolutely. I mean, that's what we all fear, that, don't we? We fear irrelevance. Yeah, everybody does. But the yep. thing is that the ones that don't have to worry too much are the ones that are actually trying to do something about it, you know? So, Nicholas, it's been very interesting. I've learned a lot. Thank you. And if anyone's got any questions, I'm sure Nicholas can perhaps point them in the right Absolutely. Direction, maybe answer them. I might be able to, but this is not my expertise right now. So you've kind of expanded my mind. It's the beginning of my study really into this. I've been thinking about it, but I haven't quite got my head around it. Right. And I think the interesting thing is the way that it works with payments, with yep. NFTs,
correct,
and all of these kind of things. I think that's what's going to make it very interesting. Because, like you say, a few years ago, there was no way to get paid, right, or nope. sell something, but it was slightly difficult and challenging. So,
cybersecurity was a big deal, and mm-hmm. that's why today, with cybersecurity being where it is today, where, you know, you have hackers, obviously, and you always have hackers, but we have yeah. a better way to fight it. And that's why mm-hmm. also it's one part of the environment that makes it available today and less less scary, if I could say, or less less scary than what you would expect if you were to put, for example, just your credit card on the internet. That's very scary today.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Well, thank you so much. It's
thank
it's
you,
been very, very interesting.
As always.
And much appreciated.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.